Hello and welcome to another episode of Baby Steps, the first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting and education and development, everything about children. I am your host, Daniela Chiang. I am happy to be with you again today. I hope you're doing well. How is COVID taking you? Are you doing okay mentally? Are your children doing okay mentally? I hope things are falling into place, and if you're not okay, please reach out to somebody. Trust me, there's somebody who cares and wants to listen. No man is an island. Everybody needs love. We all need attention. Yes. So this whole COVID time, it's been about 7 or so months, and things are slowly getting back into place, but a lot of things are still just the way they are. And if our kids are not in grade 4, this is in Kenya, grade 4, class 8, or form 4, we know that they're still at home, and it's been like 7+ months of watching a lot of TV. And many of them, I mean, there are estates where I know like parents would just like let their kids play, but some of them have been closed up. So I can imagine how much screen time has been happening, which is actually a bit about what today's topic is about. Not necessarily screen time, that's a different topic, but have you ever wondered why your child can concentrate on TV shows or video games for hours on end, that they're hungry and sleepy combined, but they can't seem to concentrate on schoolwork for even 10 minutes? Well, you are not alone. There's actually biology, math, science, and everything else that might explain why. And that's why this episode is going to explore some of those whys behind it. But before that, as usual, drum rolls. Time for another Did You Know fact. So did you know that creative people have short attention spans? They are easily distracted and tend to talk to themselves more often. Well, that's according to science. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. Are you creative? Do you have a short attention span? So as Danielle, having been in the space of children for almost all my grown life, I can confidently say that I have seen and experienced it all, literally, with kids. The good, the bad, and the ugly. From the three-year-old boy who is such a darling and polite, kind and a gentleman, smart and clean, very friendly, to one who is rough, violent, constantly screaming and hitting others and shouting, die, die, die. Like, seriously, he does scream that. He's constantly on the move, unable to concentrate beyond 10 seconds. This is not an exaggeration. That was his maximum concentration span. And he did shout, die. A lot. So where does this stem from? Well, there's a lot of reasons, you know, a lot of reasons that can cover this. But there's a term I personally feel has been loosely used, especially in the most recent years, and that's diagnosing kids with ADD or ADHD. Okay, for the last child I described, his was undoubtedly on the high-end spectrum of ADHD. But according to research, this 20% of children, that's about state statistics, right? 900,000, almost a million children who have been misdiagnosed as having ADHD simply because they are either young, just being young, and shouldn't be made to sit for hours on a wooden chair and unengaged, or they are hyperactive for one reason or the other. This misdiagnosis translates to a wasted $320 to $500 million a year on unnecessary medication. You know, my point is not even the amount of money. My problem is unnecessary medication, because this means little ones' bodies are pumped with chemicals that cause certain imbalances, and God knows what it does to them later in the future, or their brain, the body, whatever. Okay, I just realized, let me describe. ADD is attention deficit disorder, and ADHD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So primarily the difference is one has hyperactivity, the other one doesn't. And in the first one, the child or adult just cannot concentrate on tasks for the minimum required time for their age and level of quote-unquote development. They tend to daydream a lot. They basically cannot attend to anything. For ADHD, it is everything in ADD plus an overly hyperactive person, the kind that just can't sit down or is constantly fidgeting or bothering others whenever they have to sit in one position. So many reasons, like I had mentioned earlier, there are studies that prove that if you put a three-year-old in a class of fours or a five-year-old in a class of six, you get the hang of it, right? They're highly likely to behave like they have a problem with attention and hyperactivity not because they have ADD or ADHD, but simply because they are younger and less mature. That is just plain biology. We need to cut our kids some slack. It's very difficult for a two-year-old to sit still, and they're the only one in a class of three-year-olds, because that's a different level of maturity. So we look like this kid is very hyperactive, yet it's just the environment. They are just not in the right space. Children also start school earlier, have a higher chance of developing some form of hyperactivity or inattention, especially in classrooms. This is simply because they are still too young to sit and concentrate for long hours, especially if the activities do not keep them engaged. Now, I know we are working and we're busy, and our kids, it's sometimes we're not sure about nannies, and it's just safe to have our kids in schools. But if you're getting a school for a young child, toddler, 1, 2, 3, 4, I advocate for a school that has a lot of play. Play, like, you know, we assume that play is just like a joke or a waste of time, but for kids, that's actually a whole process of learning. Find a school where, or an education facility where they get to play a lot, where there's games, there's story time, things that keep them engaged if you have to put them in school. So why do I mention this? My problem is that when kids, and also here, I know a couple of kids, because I've been in this school setting for a while, who've been diagnosed with these things and are being pumped with drugs. Literally, some cannot even stay awake because of how hard-hitting the drugs are. And this misdiagnosis means that there are several other reasons that a child can be hyperactive or easily distracted. So this episode actually is dedicated to the parent whose child has been diagnosed or is worried that their child might have ADD or ADHD and is like me, doesn't like drugs being pumped into the system when it can be avoided. This episode is actually even more dedicated to the child who has been sidelined or called names or punished simply because of their inability to sit still or concentrate, when really it isn't their fault. Just a little help and they should be fine. Finding out what the problem is, and doesn't have to be drugs. So statistically, 1 in every 9 girls and 1 in every 3 boys is diagnosed with this condition. Why are there more boys with it? Well, my hypothesis is that, this is just my opinion, by the way, is that nature, nurture, evolution, whatever you want to call it, has always told girls that girls don't behave like that. Girls should not jump like that. Girls sit down like this. Girls, you know, so they usually don't climb up things or do similar things to what boys do. So girls usually will be diagnosed with ADD because they tend to just sit quietly, but not because they are concentrating, but usually they're probably lost in thought, which is their inattention. Well, boys are jumpy and all because society has allowed it. You know, that's a boy's thing. Boys can do this. Am I here to talk about that? No, no, I am not. Anyway, I personally find this ridiculous. Not because I'm arguing with research, but because I find it unfair how, as adults, we do find it okay for us to lose concentration because maybe a lecture or a preaching or a presentation in the office has gone for too long. We let our minds wander, we start fidgeting, drawing, or using our phones. Yet when a child cannot sit still in a 30-minute class with an attention span, by the way, of 5 to 10 minutes depending on the age, because the teacher is teaching them in a lecture method, no interaction or engagement, just sit and face the board and do not say a word. And when we see our kid is unable to do this for 30 minutes, we want to quote unquote fix them. Honestly, find it not fair. Why can't you sit still? Even we can sit for a 1 hour lecture and we're not being engaged. The preachings get boring. You know, for some of us, this COVID time has really helped, because if you listen to a sermon and it's not what, it's not appealing to you, or the preacher is, I'm sorry for all preachers out there, it's boring, you get to either switch or decide to move up and down in the house and nobody's going to judge you because you're not in church. Now, if we can do that, why are we judging our children? Now, before I move on with this, there's actually a spectrum of all this. So a spectrum is just like, let's say 0 to 100. So people fall in between one of these things. So some activity is normal. There is some hyperactivity that is considered okay. No, not hyperactivity. Hyper is excessive. So let me say there's some activity that's okay. If a child has been seated for, let's say, 15 minutes, this is a 3, 4, 5 year old, and they're getting bored and they start moving around or fidgeting or disturbing others, that is understandable. Doesn't mean they're in the spectrum. But there's someone who 10 seconds later, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, is already up and about, pulling others, biting, throwing, jumping, running. There's a spectrum on the levels of this, but I'm not here to talk about ADHD. It's a whole disorder that can be discussed. But like the child I mentioned earlier, the die, die kind of kid running up and down, screaming, all his toys, made up toys, were guns and knives and weapons of destruction. Yes, trust me, seen a lot of these things. So there's a whole episode, like it can be a whole episode in its own, talking about ADHD or ADD and its symptoms, proper diagnosis. But today I'm here to talk about why it might not be ADHD and what else could be causing a child's hyperactivity or poor concentration. Let me start with saying that we all know that you are what you eat. So if a child's meal mostly consists of a lot of carbs, carbohydrates, snacks, and especially sugary ones, be sure that their concentration is going to be out the door. Processed foods, sugars, they cause a spike in the blood and into the brain, and this will induce hyperactivity, and it will cause a child to be restless or possibly disruptive. Studies prove that feeding on greens and fruits give the body antioxidants, which also in turn boost the brain power. So how about switching up the diet? It could just be the foods they're eating are making them too hyperactive. They need foods that will help them. Their bodies calm down, their minds calm down, their blood calm down. Just change up, switch up the diet, find foods that work with that. Another thing I'd like to ask is, how much sleep does your child get? Lack of enough sleep and quality sleep can also contribute to such symptoms of hyperactivity and inattention. If a child is sleeping late or not sleeping well, maybe because of something that's causing them either anxiety or fear, there's a lot of things that traumatize kids and we have no idea because they don't know how to articulate it, they're most likely to be moody and disruptive the next day because they didn't get enough sleep. They slept late watching TV and they have to be wake up at, I don't know, 5, 6, 7. They have to be in class maybe by 8 or 9. They've slept for 4 or 5 hours. They are exhausted, or they didn't sleep. Maybe somebody's bullying them in school. Somebody's harassing them. There's some form of abuse happening somewhere. There's programs they're watching that are really disturbing their mind. They're not going to sleep well. They'll probably have night terrors or nightmares and have problems with sleep. So when they wake up, it's just being moody. So they become very disruptive in the classroom. And it gets, or even at home, you know, because if the kid maybe is homeschooled or they're currently at home, you could be seeing those symptoms. So just try and ensure that they get enough sleep and they stop interacting with screen time at least an hour before bed as they transition to sleep. Let them engage in activities that will slow down their systems, like stories or puzzles, books, not anything that too much TV, things that will keep their brain on a high. For young ones, especially below the age of 5, incorporate nap time into their schedule, like 20 minutes should be good. And for this age, before kids get to teenagehood, they need about 10 to 12 hours of sleep. So try and make sure throughout the day they get that quality sleep. A child can also struggle with concentrating in class simply because they have some learning difficulties and it's frustrating them. So they decide to either daydream or cause distraction because they're just trying to communicate or pass a message of, honestly, I don't understand what's going on no matter how I try, so please help. Every child is born with a talent or a gift, like I co-hosted with somebody on the episode of Imagine Blossom, which is about gifts and talents and figuring them out. Sorry. So if you haven't listened to that, please do. So sometimes numbers and letters is just not the easiest for them. Not that they can't grasp it, but they might never be able to get, this is reality on the ground, might never be able to get to the levels of the average child or the developmental stage. They just need an extra boost with a lot of love, a lot of engagement. So it could be something like dyslexia, which is a language disorder of processing letters, sounds, and their formation. So figure out if the issue is they're not understanding what is being taught and how to help them. They're probably just frustrated because they're not understanding. It's like if you've ever done an exam and you're not understanding, you just want to walk away, you know, close that booklet, throw it, walk away. That's the same thing with kids. They're not understanding what's happening, no matter how hard they try. So they figure the best ways to get attention by doing things that otherwise not considered conventional. Another thing I just have to ask, has the apple fallen far from the tree? So what is your attention span like as a parent? Anyway, moving on. Give them activities that require concentration and time away from all screens. Like introduce them to puzzles or building blocks, board games or books. Generally activities that require them to sit still and engage their mind and hands or body without over stimulation from television screens or iPads or whatever it is we give them. There are enough studies that show that gadgets actually do reduce people's attention span, especially because these activities in cartoons and video games move at an inhumanely fast speed. And when you come to real life, imagine it actually takes proper time to do those things, which is too slow for children. So unless you as a parent or teacher is flying around, you are too slow for them. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. So like too much of this makes the mind gets too hyperactive. It's too fast paced, and then reality is reality. It moves at a normal pace. So when they get too used to it, it gets very difficult for them to concentrate in real life. Now, if you want them to concentrate on an activity, let's say like something academic, reduce or remove distractions from around them, meaning the TV or radio should not be on while they're still in the same room, unless maybe it's slow music, that is, to keep things soothing and helps keep them relaxed. Just try and keep away all distractions. Also have a routine. I don't mean an inflexible one, like it's 7 and it's 7 and it's 7, no. But one that makes things easily predictable for your child. Wake up time should be the same, meal time should be the same hours, regulated screen time, sleep time, play time, so on. You know, once they get into routine, it's easier for you at 7 p.m. to tell them, baby, it's 7 p.m. and we both know it's time to get off the TV or the iPad and let's prepare for bed, whether it's time for story time, it's time for cuddling, whatever it is. Having a routine helps even you as an adult. We wake up and say, I'm going to do this at this time. I'll wake up at 7. Routine helps. Kids are begging for routine. Where there's just things happening causes a lot of anxiety and stress in the mind. Because today, sleeping will be at 7. Tomorrow it's at 10. The other day it's at 1 a.m. Tomorrow it's at 6. Very confusing. And if they're doing schoolwork or something, let's just let them have breaks between tasks. Every 15 to 30 minutes, depending on their age, let them take a break because the attention span has already been stretched. And after they've accomplished a task, praise them once in a while so they feel encouraged, but don't do it so much to a point where they get addicted to external praise. I think most obviously is we know that the brain and body works best when it's fresh and well-fed. So like after you've given them healthy foods that build the brain, try and schedule activities early in the day when their concentration is high. Because by evening time, their system is starting to slow down just like yours. By evening, you're exhausted. The brain has, it's not even whether you've done activities a whole day. The brain and body has chemicals that just release serotonin and all these things that are released into the body to know it's time to rest, it is time to sleep, it's time to slow down. So try activities early in the day. I think another beautiful thing is try meditation. Sit with your child. Ask them to close their eyes. This is especially if they're very hyperactive or cannot pay attention. Ask them to close their eyes and imagine what it is like to be able to sit down and do their work without moving about or complaining. Then ask them, what does it look like? And how does it feel in your head? You know? Then talk about them. Talk about it with them and how they think they can achieve that. So if they say, I saw myself doing this, and ask them, okay, tell me more about it. Do you think you can try doing it when we're at home or we're in school? How can I help you? You know, your child is an individual, so they usually can tell what will help them depending on the age, but you should also suggest ways that they can concentrate and then practice, trial and error, see what works and what doesn't, and stick to what works. So when it comes to learning, find out what your child's learning style is. We could be making them sit to listen to something when they'd rather watch, you know, read. Like look at it. So there's visual, different types of learning styles. There's visual, audio, movement. What works with your child? I tackle these different learning styles in my first few episodes this year, so you can check them out. And actually, here we are. I hope you manage to concentrate through this episode too, because I'm done for now. I hope we get to see our children through their eyes and help them figure themselves out. Children don't misbehave because they want to. When they know how to do better, they will do better. So equip them with the skills for whatever you want them to be and behave. They need you more than anything, and nobody will understand them better than you do. So don't forget to share this with anyone and everyone who needs to hear it. If they have children, grandchildren, their teachers, caregivers, they plan to have children at some point, to be forewarned is forearmed. And if you or anyone you know would like to feature on this episode, please reach out to me on babystepsbyd@gmail.com. D is D-double-E. Hope to meet you in 2 weeks. Bye.